or their website, opendoorins.com. And last, I wanted to give a shout out to a current upcoming event. The Occidental Center for the Arts will be hosting their Spring Talent Show on Saturday, April 26th at 7 p.m. Don't miss this entertaining and fun event showcasing some of Sonoma County's finest performers. Ticket information can be found at OccidentalCenterForTheArts.org. There you have it. Thanks again and welcome again. This is Remembering Ourselves. I'm your host, Colin Mutchler. The show takes a look at the music and practices of our past in order to ground ourselves as we navigate these intense times of transformation and crisis. My guest today, Kelsey Schofsky, is the CEO and co-founder of Shelter Co., as well as the brand The Get Out, and more recently River Electric, which is coming full force this summer, which is very exciting. Welcome to the show, Kelsey.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we jump into it, I wanted to just ask you, like, what was it like to be asked that question of, like, you know, choosing songs from your life?
It was pretty fun, but also it's a lot of pressure because, you know, I'm 44 years old. I've listened to a lot of music, and it was really hard to narrow it down. But I really just wanted to pick things that signified, you know, like, really specific points in my life. The songs themselves, all of them, don't necessarily have, like, a, you know, strong meaning to me. It really is more of a time signifier, of which anyone who knows me knows I'm not super emotional, so it makes sense.
I love that. I was like, I didn't know that about you, but I, like, I guess that when you say it, I'm like, oh, that's kind of funny. Like, I'm not that surprised. Say more about that. Like, I just think that's kind of exciting for a show about music where you're just like, you're not that emotional.
Yeah, I mean...
It's just one of the facts about you?
It's just one of the facts about me. I'm a pretty even-keeled person, often referred to as potentially an alien. I don't know. You know, hard to, hard to articulate, but...
Totally. And I forget, like, you grew up in the Bay Area, right?
Yeah, I grew up in the East Bay in Benicia, which is, you know, the far East Bay. And, you know, lived in the same house my whole childhood. My parents still live there. Really lovely, wonderful place to grow up. I live in Sebastopol now, and Benicia and Sebastopol are very similar. It's kind of funny that that's where I landed in terms of, you know, vibe and small
town. It's like a similar size.
Yeah, one high school, you know, that whole situation. Hmm. So, yeah.
And are you only child, or how many other siblings
do you have? I have a younger brother who's 3 years younger than me. He's actually very into music and is probably going to laugh if he listens to this.
That's great. Yeah, I'm the oldest of three. I feel like older siblings do have a particular, you know, way of relating to the family. And I think with music, I remember some of the people that were younger siblings got exposed to music earlier that was, like, more from their generation. But I feel like for the older siblings, at least for me, it was like I just heard it from my, you know, whoever was around my parents were the first influence. For you, who was the first influence for music, or how did music show up in your life?
Yeah, well, I think that's going to be evident in my song choices. So I grew up in a pretty religious household, and I think my parents, when I was younger, were really trying to figure out, like, how they were parenting and what we were being exposed to. And I was obviously the experiment child because I was the first one that came along, and a lot of their friends were, you know, homeschooling, and the kids didn't get to go trick-or-treating. It was, you know, pretty, like, strict within their community, and they did not really go that route with us. I was a public school kid, we definitely trick-or-treated. But music when I was younger was really limited to, like, old stuff that my parents had around from, you know, college and when they were young adults. So a lot of, you know, Beatles and, you know, things that were popular in the 60s. And then, like, a lot of really bad Christian rock, which I did not put on the list, even though it is a good signifier, but I just wanted to spare everyone from, like, early Amy Grant. But
oh,
that
man,
was
we
like...
should have. I want to hear that stuff. Amy Grant is the artist?
Yes.
I'm looking it up as we speak.
But, you know, that was kind of what was on repeat in our house. But one of the songs that I chose, am I supposed to mention what we're...
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, sure.
So one of them is a Whitney Houston song. And I think the reason that I was exposed to this song, And You're Gonna Die, is that our Ford Aerostar minivan that my parents bought in like 1987 came with a pre-recorded tape in the tape deck that had like current hits.
And oh, interesting.
This Whitney Houston song was on it. And it was One Moment in Time. And there were all these other, you know, songs on that tape that my brother and I were obsessed with because it was kind of our only exposure at that time. We were really little to music.
How old were you?
Like, I guess I was six or seven. I was probably seven. My brother was in kindergarten. It just is so funny because we both are like, oh my God, remember the Ford tape? We just like loved the Ford
tape.
It's
like legendary in your family.
Legendary, because that's all we had in terms of things that we had access to besides like the Beach Boys and the Beatles. And I mean, my mom loved like Harry Belafonte and Neil Diamond, but that was kind of like what we were listening to, except for this Ford tape that had.
And I forget, maybe you just said it, but where did like who was the origin of the Ford tape?
It came with the car.
Oh, so it was like the previous owner?
No, it was like Ford made a tape.
Oh my
every
God.
Year that came in the new vehicle.
That's
that was modern music, and you can get them on eBay. Like they have every year that they've, you know.
What an interesting thing. So it's like Ford, the company's perspective. Like we're gonna help. We're gonna along with this. Wow. Yeah. I mean. That's so interesting, especially for a family like yours that didn't listen to a lot of that modern stuff. So for you guys as kids, it was like a secret access to some other culture.
Exactly.
Wow, that is so cool.
And just to be fair, like my parents weren't like, you can't listen to modern music. It was just when
it
you're
just
that,
wasn't around.
When
yeah.
you're that age, if you're not getting to choose the radio station, you don't really have access. And especially back then, like I didn't have a stereo in my room in second grade. So I was really kind of at the mercy of what was around or what my parents were listening
to. Yeah, totally. I mean, I think kids these days would not appreciate what it was like back then. Like these days you just pick up a phone, you can basically access anything you'd ever want to listen to.
Exactly.
And back then it was, you'd have to go to a store, look at records or, you know, pay money to get access to music or have some friend to hook you up or get Ford to drop one in your car. All right, well, let's play this song to bring us back to, are we talking like 90s like or 80s?
This is like late 80s.
Late 80s.
I think it's like, it was like 87 or 88, I think was the year.
All right. So brought to you via Kelsey's crew, but really via Ford Motor Company.
Ford Motor
we appreciate
Company.
You for bringing One Moment in Time, Whitney Houston. One Moment in Time from Whitney Houston. Solid, solid representation of that time. The next one that Kelsey chose is one from a little bit earlier from her parents' collection, which is All My Loving from the Beatles.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. I'll pretend that I'm kissing the lips I'm missing and hope that my dreams will come true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day and I'll send all my loving to you. All my loving I will send to you. All my loving, darling, I'll be true. Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day and I'll send all my loving to you. All my loving.
That's All My Loving, the Beatles. Old school, and I decided that I'm going to go rogue here. Even though Kelsey did not choose Amy Grant, she was willing to give me the song, one of the songs from that era. So I got to play a little snippet just so we can just like presence ourselves in the grace of God. This is "I Have Decided" from Amy Grant. I think it's like 1982. We're going to cut off a little early there. I think Kelsey's things are happening. But that's beautiful. I was like saying how it's like, I've been listening, sometimes you're driving in the car and I just search in channels and I hear some Christian rock and it's, you know, it's not bad.
Yeah.
And Kelsey was saying that, what was the thing you said about Christian or country?
Yeah, we say Christian or country. Sometimes you can't tell. Sometimes it's both.
Oh my God. Well, thank you for sharing all that. Again, I'm here with Kelsey Schaffsky, and this is Remembering Ourselves. Each show, I ask a guest from, you know, somebody here around West County to bring six songs with them, you know, two songs that represent the time period in their early days before they chose their own music, and then two from more of their coming of age period when they started to really get into the music for themselves, and then two from now-ish, which, you know, what I told Kelsey was since the pandemic. And today we have Kelsey here. So you started in the East Bay, and then for this next era, the kind of coming of age period, were you still in the East Bay? Had you moved out of the East Bay?
I was still in the East Bay. You know, the next era, I really kind of focused on, well, middle school into high school. I really started to get into music on my own probably around fourth grade, I would say, which is like the Mariah Carey days, the Paula Abdul.
I remember that.
You know, when I got like my first tapes as birthday presents and I had my Walkman and my little, you know, stereo in my room, I think that was really the beginning of me starting to curate my own like pop music collection, I guess,
which is impressive. I think fourth grade, I'm thinking of that's like at that era that's relatively early. So you were like, I was ready
to move on from what was, you know,
Amy Grant.
Exactly. I remember I got a Vanilla Ice tape for probably my fifth grade birthday, and my mom like pulled out the liner notes and read the lyrics and was like, absolutely not, like, we're returning this.
Oh wow. So you had to return it.
I didn't get to keep that one, but wow. I did have, you know, Mariah Carey I think was a big one. But the first song that I chose for this next era is a seventh grade is really like my mental marker for this, because when I turned whatever age that is in seventh grade, I got an entire stack of CDs and I got my first Discman,
which that's huge.
A big
I remember.
Deal. Because we were traveling, we were on a road trip, my family was, we were going down, I don't know what we were doing, Southern California, and I had my birthday while we were on this trip. And my parents got me the Discman and a stack of CDs, and I still remember so distinctly, like, getting all those CDs. And it was Soul Asylum, Crash Test Dummies, Pearl Jam, Nirvana.
Wow.
And then Blind Melon, which this song Change is one of the ones I listed just because it was one of my favorite songs at the time. And I just remember putting that on a lot on car trips with my friends. And I remember the videos, you know, it was like the golden days of MTV too.
Totally.
We had all these really amazing albums coming out, but then all of this really amazing visual stuff coming out of MTV. And, you know, by that point, you know, I emphasized when I was younger, my parents were really, I think, trying to figure out, like, how liberal are we with raising our kids? And,
yeah.
You know, they, like, threw up their hands and we were, like, MTV kids and kind of got to, like, listen and watch whatever we wanted, which I am very grateful for.
Right,
they
so that was
weren't strict about that. So that kind of
yeah, sounds
as we got older.
That's cool. Yeah, so it sounds like almost the moment that they gave you that Discman and the CDs was kind of like, all right, Kelsey, it is what it is.
Yeah.
This is your generation.
Yeah.
Go be with your people.
100%.
Yeah, for people that are listening who are, you know, under a certain age, I don't think you can really appreciate what a big change it was to have like a Discman or a Walkman or something that you could actually walk around and listen to music outside of just in a car, because it was always either in a car or it was at your house plugged into a wall.
Yep.
And when I interviewed some of the older people, some people in their 70s, let's say, they talk about when record players first came out or radio, and that was really the main, and then cars. But I think for our generation, we were probably the first time where you could actually walk around with music.
Yes.
And it was like, you know, it just felt that, I mean, I'm sure a lot of kids now, I mean, people like wearing headphones for a reason, because it's like you feel like your own world and you have your own soundtrack, the movie of, you know, soundtrack of your life kind of. But that never happened before Walkmans.
For sure. Yeah.
The only other question I was going to ask was in terms of that collection of CDs. So was all that chosen by your parents initially?
No, it was all stuff I asked for. So I was I went to, you know, Tower Records or whatever and made my list of everything that I wanted. And I got it all. My parents
have
always
through.
Been great gift givers. So they got me all the things I wanted.
Shout out to the parents.
Yep.
That's awesome. All right. Well, let's listen to this song. I loved Blind Melon too. I think there was the song that was the most famous is a different song, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one I know more, but when I listen to this, it's a great song. All right, so this is from Kelsey. This is Blind Melon, Change.
Dream.
That's Change from Blind Melon. If you were there, you know the sadness and the angst of early teen life in the 80s and 90s. I'm here with Kelsey Schofsky. I'm Colin Mutchler. This is Remembering Ourselves, where we take a look back at the music and practices of our past. And I'm here today with Kelsey, and we're in the kind of like middle school era. And moving into, I guess, the high school era. What was different in high school versus middle school?
Well, we're gonna go into the 90s, so entering, you know, late 90s. For my high school era, I feel like driving is a big like marker of music, because once we were able to drive and I had a 6-disc CD changer in my trunk and, you know, could load up with all the cool music of what I wanted to listen to. And then, you know, having your big CD case that you'd bring with on a car trip or with your friends. So music was, I think, really, really important in high school. But I also would like hole up in my room and listen to like sad music. So that's, I wasn't like a depressed high school kid, but it just, you know, it's part of growing up.
Totally.
And listen to a lot of Fiona Apple at that age. So that's why I picked this next
song. That's cool. Yeah. Tell me more about, let's talk more for people that don't remember that CD book thing that you're talking about.
Yeah.
In my mind, it's like a leather cover.
Two by two, like a grid of four per page, and you could fit like 250 CDs in the
book. Right, so your entire music collection, basically like a pretty large part, could be in this one object.
And you could travel with it, yeah. And for some reason, sold mine at a garage sale in like 2008, like an idiot, and I should have kept it.
But. Okay, here's the question. Did you keep, during that era, did you keep the, whatever they're called, the plastic cases too, or were those like discarded?
No, I'm not a sentimental person, as I said, and so that kind of thing like
Whatever.
Makes no sense to me.
Functionally, like, you had them. That's all that mattered.
Yeah, and then I'd have the discs in there, not even with the right covers. Like,
didn't matter.
I'd make people insane, but yeah,
I had my discs. Yeah. Yeah, you're not trying to make an art project out of your music. It's like, yeah, I think if I still have one of mine, but it's not the full one. Like in my case, I did save the little discs or whatever the plastic cases. I do have one of them, but it's like later, like after I'd already taken some stuff out, I've lost a bunch of CDs, but now I'm like, I kind of do value it. Like for me, I actually miss the physicality of music a little bit.
Well, we moved back to records for that reason. So we have a record player at our house and have records of all our favorite albums, because especially for the kids, I've got, you know, a 9-year-old and 12-year-old, but when they were younger, before they had their own iPads and access to Spotify, it was like they didn't have any agency to like discover music the way that we did. I mean, I could go through the tape drawer and listen to weird stuff that my parents had, and our kids didn't really have that. So we got a record player and started buying up records so that they could start, you know, just like listening to stuff and being able to look at the albums. I mean, there's just something a little bit, I think, that's really important about that physical nature of dealing with your music that you don't get through Spotify.
Totally.
But yeah, I think those album booklets or CD booklets were just so cool.
I know. And I'm curious if you bought, because I did that at some point. I think when I first moved up to Monterio, up to Villa Grande, I was like, because we had a record player there too, and I didn't have one in my, where I lived in Oakland. And then I was like, I went through a period of trying to buy like records of albums that I loved as CDs, but I didn't have the best experience. Like I remember, I think I did Mos Def, Black on Both Sides, but it was like as a CD, it was great. But then as a record, they had like two records, you know, there's like two.
Yeah, I
was like,
lot of them, cause they're too long. Yeah.
I'm like, a record should be just one thing.
It's true. Yeah. It is a little bit of a different.
But have you bought like a lot of stuff that used to be your collection that was in CDs and now they're in vinyl?
Yeah. And we also, I think when my husband and I got married, we both had our own collections of music that we like ripped onto the computers. Cause you know,
I remember.
You had the CD and then you'd like rip it onto your hard drive so you could burn CDs.
Totally, I remember.
And then you'd download stuff off Napster. So you had all that. And we still had all that on our computers and we combined it and we have it actually in our Apple Music as our like library, like our old ripped
stuff.
Good
for you.
But there's stuff in there that's like totally mislabeled. It's just like track one because it was some random CD that didn't have a name. So there's, it's kind of a mess, but yeah. We do have some of that old stuff, but I don't have the actual like physical CDs anymore.
No, same here. I have one of my old iPods. It worked until about like 6 months ago, where like if you had the old charger,
devastating.
So it didn't. I don't have it on my computer anymore, but the iPod itself worked, and I could play some of those playlists that I had made.
Yeah.
You know, in like 2002 or 3 or 4, where it was like that was my best collection of, you know, there's something about those playlists I still hold on to, but I don't have any record of them anymore. It's so sad.
I know.
Okay, well, let's go back to, you know, late high school, Fiona Apple. I'm imagining you in your bedroom. Just, you know, by yourself, listening to this song.
Yeah, just listening to, I listened to a lot of Fiona Apple. And I actually got to see her live as an adult, I don't know, probably 6 years ago, which was, like, very fun. Because it was just, you know, a very large part of my high school life.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's try to remember our own times in high school when we kind of wanted to feel sad a little bit. Because that's, you know, it's, being a human is kind of sad sometimes. So here we go. Sleep to Dream, Fiona Apple.
I tell you how I feel, but you don't care. I say tell me the truth, but you don't dare. You say love is a hell you cannot bear. And I say give me my back and then go there for all I care. I got my feet on the ground and I don't go to sleep to dream. You got your head in the clouds, you're not at all what you seem. This mind, this body and this voice cannot be stopped. I have never been so insulted in all my life. I could swallow the seas twice down all this pride. First you run like a fool just to be at my side. And now you run like a fool but you just run to hide and I can't abide. I got my feet on the ground and I don't go to sleep to dream. You got your head in the clouds, you're not at all what you seem. This mind, this body and this voice cannot be. Don't bother to explain. Don't even show me your face, cause it's a crying shame. Just go back to the rock from under which you came. Take the sorrow you gave and all the stakes you claim. And don't forget the blame. I got my feet on the ground and I don't go to sleep to dream. You got your head in my clouds and you're not at all what you seem. This mind, this body and this voice cannot be.
Fiona Apple, 1990s, you know, we're far enough away. I still feel like it's recent, but it's now like 30 years ago.
Well, not quite.
25, all right, 25 years ago. But I'm here with Kelsey, and we are at the stage of kind of like end of high school. And I know the next songs that I asked you about are not till much, much later, kind of more recent. But we were talking, you know, while the song's playing, a little bit about being parents. Like, you know, we both have two kids that are like, you know, you're 12 and 9. I'm like 9 and 6. And, you know, like that question of like both like their own journey, they're on their own musical journey. They're in a similar moment that with us, but the times are different, but the emotions are probably similar. Is there anything you think about, you know, advice to a fellow parent, you know, since your kids are a few years older than mine, about helping them to navigate their own relationship to music or how they use music to like process their emotions and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we've tried to expose them to as much music as possible. I mean, my husband specifically, he's got such a wide breadth of knowledge of, you know, all sorts of genres and artists, and is always playing something new and cool in the car. And that's been kind of their whole life. We've been doing that. Both of my kids have, you know, devices, and they have access to Spotify. And so they listen to their own music, but Spotify kind of makes me crazy because of the way that the algorithm works. It's like you choose one, you know, they'll put on Sabrina Carpenter or whatever, and then it's like the same damn 8 songs that come on afterwards that are, it's just kind of feeding you the same. Mm-hmm. You're a little bit in a vacuum,
right? A little bubble. It stays in the same musical bubble.
Yeah, and there's not a really easy way for a kid to navigate that. As an adult, of course, you know how to, you know, search a little bit better, but
it reinforces the same direction kind of.
It's just different. They don't have as many inputs as we did. Like, there's no MTV, there's no going to, you know, the Tower Record. I mean, yes, there are still record stores, but it's just not the
same. They're not gonna go, yeah.
It's not the culture anymore. So, you know, we encourage them to, you know, listen to music and listen to their own music, and they do. But I think a lot of it is coming from us exposing them to stuff.
Yeah. No, I see it with Adeline, who's the other kid in my life. That's kind of part of our Villa Grand crew. You know, John and Renata have different tastes than me and Christy. And so it's kind of nice to like see them, you know, Adeline brings in different music that to Nico and Alice, my kids. And it's like, you know, it's like how it always happens. I feel like that's the part of music that I love the most, is like when somebody recommends it. And I do think it's really generally a positive that we have access to all this music and we can really, really look for anything. But I think to your point, as children, there's just like less, I don't know, they just like have less of an ability to do that like navigation, yeah, you know, on purpose.
Well, they're exposed to so much more on the surface because it's just like everything's at your fingertips now. Like, you don't have to go source that album. Like, you can download it anything online, but that almost makes it harder, I think, to have like a wide breadth of things, right, you're being exposed to.
Yeah.
One thing I just was laughing about this the other day. I had a bunch of people over to my house on Friday, and everyone's like, oh my God, like, what is this playlist? So good. And it was a playlist that me plus, I don't know, 20 of my other friends all collaborated on for New Year's a couple years ago.
Huh.
And so it was all these different viewpoints of like, what is party music? And it made the best playlist because there's so many things on there I never would have thought of to put on a playlist, and absolutely wouldn't have shown up if it was like, play party radio, Spotify or whatever. And I think that's really important too, is having a lot of different inputs.
Totally.
That are like reminding you of cool stuff. There's so much good music out there.
That's really cool.
But it's, you know, it's easy to forget.
No, and I think because it's so easy, like the algorithms are good enough to be like, yeah, fine.
Yeah.
But actually, like, your group playlist is something that the algorithm would never create.
Never. It was so crazy. But it also, like, one of my friends was like, I don't want to leave. Every song is so good back to back, you know, and it's just this like random group of people that put it together.
Hey, cool. Well, I wanted to ask about live music as we transition maybe to this later period. So, have you always lived in the Bay Area? Did you like ever leave and come back, or have you been in the Bay basically since then until now?
I went to school in Santa Barbara.
Okay.
And when I graduated UCSB, I moved to LA for about 2 years and worked down there, and then moved to San Francisco for about 15 years before landing in Sebastopol.
Cool. And when did you start Shelter Call? Like, how did that? I don't know the origin story.
We started it 13 years ago. I was working as a wedding planner doing destination weddings, really high-end events, and was looking to transition and figure out something else to do, but I loved being in events and really saw a hole in the market. A lot of our wealthier clientele, you know, had land places or like, hey, I want to do a party on my ranch, and oftentimes you couldn't because it wasn't close enough to a hotel. And there was kind of like a ding, ding, ding moment of, well, what if you brought the hotel to the party? Like, what does that look like? And that was really the kind of seed of Shelter Co. was, let's figure out this mobile lodging solution where we can pop up a hotel anywhere. And it's grown from there to be really an outdoor solution. So a lot of the events we do have nothing to do with sleeping overnight. It's just we're providing, you know, tented spaces for dinners and conferences and that sort of thing. And then have like a huge line of furniture and other things to go along
with. But that was the origin, right? So it was like, yeah, people would go to these great spots, but the problem was nobody could sleep there. So you just invented a solution to that was like, yeah, a place for people to...
And,
yeah, for those that don't know, like the original, my original exposure to Shelter Co. and probably the, my guess is the original like product, you know, an event was that beautiful tent.
Yeah.
That was like this beautiful, you know, felt like a really nice place to be.
Yes.
And well-designed and felt like you were in a real beautiful room, but you're outside, you know, in a kind of glamping type way.
Well, and a lot of people that do Shelter Co., like that have come to a Shelter Co. event, for a lot of people, it's their first experience camping. It's obviously not like camping because you're in a real bed and, you know, with down comforter and all the things. But I think that a lot of people find that sleeping outdoors is quite lovely. And, you know, I like being the first
conduit into
conduit into enjoying the outdoors.
No, I agree. Sure. I mean, I'm somebody that camped as a kid, and I would always rather be outside. And I personally have a bias towards thinking that like most, I mean, besides if you live in the actual winter, you know, like the poles or whatever, but I do think that, you know, humans have lived outside for like almost all of human history until recently.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like the air's better. Like the exposure to all the elements is better. You're in touch with more of the animals and plants and everything. It's just like you're part of the ecosystem in a way that you're not if you're just stuck in some 72 degrees air conditioned thing.
It's so true. And I tell this story all the time when I'm being interviewed, but it is so true. Is we get these people that are very wealthy, that have, you know, tech titans, whatever, who come to us and say, I had the best sleep of my life in your tent. What kind of bedding do you use? Like, what's the mattress? And it's literally an IKEA mattress, like the cheapest one you can get, and like just normal bedding. And what they're not realizing is that it's not the bed.
Huh.
It's being out in nature. It's being cold. Like, I think a lot of people don't realize you sleep better when you're cold.
You know? When the air's cold, but you're cozy underneath the blanket.
Yeah, but you're not in like dry air conditioning. And there really is something to be said about that.
That's really cool. I like that story. That's amazing. And yeah, the connection to music too, I was going to ask you, like, in your transition of your, like, you know, young adult period, maybe when you're in LA or when you came back up to the up to San Francisco, you know, was there a connection to music in the formation of your you know, outdoor music in particular? Like, for me, that's when my favorite musical moments are at some kind of festival or some kind of outdoor concert. Like, that's what my best memories when I was very young. But even now I like seek that out. Like, when there's somebody who I really like their music and they play outdoors, it's like, oh my God, I'm like so happy. Like, that's mm-hmm. For me, that's the best shows. But did you have any of that or not so much? Like,
yeah, I've done, you know, so many festivals and gone to so many outdoor concerts. We as a business go to them all the time because we are actually, you know, providing infrastructure. And so we've actually been really fortunate to get to be exposed to a lot more of that kind of thing just by the nature of work. But yeah, all through my young adulthood, I was, you know, going to Coachella and doing Outside Lands and, you know, Stern Grove, all that kind of stuff.
Got it. Cool. Well, thank you. Yeah, and maybe let's just talk briefly about what's coming up right now. I think I've been like following since I first heard about the idea of River Electric, and it sounded so exciting. And, you know, so if you're just listening and don't know Shelter Co., you've heard about, like, you know, Kelsey and her team are like so good at making like beautiful experiences outside, you know, where it does include some kind of camping experience, but more than that, just like a beautiful place to be. And so instead of them always having to do it as pop-up events in different locations, they had a dream to bring something permanent to the river, to up in West County. So maybe share more about it.
Yeah, so we are opening a camp resort and swim club in Memorial Weekend this year in Guerneville. And it's been a dream of ours really since the beginning of Shelter Co. to have a permanent location, both because, you know, doing something in one spot where you don't have to take down the tents every weekend is obviously like a lot easier. But also just how, you know, putting down some roots where we are. We've been homeowners in the Russian River area for, you know, 14 years and just love that community. And we're really, really fortunate when a property came up for sale that would work with this vision. So the hotel is a camping hotel. So there's going to be 40 fully furnished camping tents. And then has two pools, a full restaurant, a shop, and really just be like a really wonderful place to come and hang out in the summer and, you know, get together with your friends. You know, that's really been, I think, the ethos of Shelter Co. from the beginning is helping people gather. And I think, you know, it's now more important than ever of, you know, get out of your house, get off your phone, go see the sunshine, go hang out with people, make new friends, try new food. You know, all those things I think are just so important. And we're hoping to help facilitate that.
I really hope, I'm excited to go. Yeah, I think we are going on that Saturday of Memorial Day weekend to check it out for the first time. I'm really excited for it. And the question people always ask when I first tell them about River Electric is like, but it's going to flood. But you know it's going to flood. You designed for it, right?
It has flooded.
Already.
We are so lucky. Yeah, when we bought the property, we were very well aware that it floods. And it doesn't just like flood. It like is inundated with water. The water is 9 feet over the top of your head when there's a bad flood. So when we started the project, we knew everything needed to be built to flood. And, you know, that's what we've done. And this year it flooded twice to those levels, which is like pretty unusual. I think it's happened 3 times since the 1930s. So lucky us. But we were, you know, really able to test it out and see how it works. And we're only open seasonally. We close at the end of the summer. So, you know,
the tents are gone.
Yeah. Rainy season. It's, you know, concrete buildings that can, you know, withstand some floodwaters, and we'll hose it off in the spring and totally reopen. So it's pretty cool. And it's just a really, it's been really interesting working with the county and working with the engineers and working with all these people to really come up with this interesting plan that hasn't really been done before, that, you know, people aren't usually trying to figure out ways to build in a place that's going to be 10 feet underwater. So,
but maybe we will have to design that way in the future.
You know, things are not getting any better on that front. So
totally. Yeah. And I sometimes think about when people from out of the area, like our family from the East Coast, for example, like whenever there's like a flood in the Russian River, because that does happen, like, you know, every few years, it's almost like treated as if it's like a mass emergency that has only happened once every 100 years and everybody's going freaking out. But actually people that live here for generations, like, they know it's going to flood. They're ready for it. And in this, you know, maybe in a slightly different way than what you've done, but they're like, they know their basement's going to flood, and that's the basement that they clean out, and it's the same way every time it happens, every 5 years, and they're not like freaking out about it. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, I think that the thing I would like to see change in the area is that when it does flood badly, you oftentimes will be like driving down the street and you'll see all the insulation and the drywall all at the curb that everyone's had to rip out because it flooded. And that, I think, is an area where we could really improve, because everyone knows that those things are going to be ruined at the end of a flood, and you have to build differently so that we aren't creating all this garbage.
Right. So those like bottom floors could just be like steel and concrete or whatever.
Yeah, or even wood is fine. Our house is on the river and it's flooded twice since we've owned it. But it's just wood walls and it's no carpet and there's a drain in the floor. And, you know, we put air movers in there and it's fine. And you don't have to actually throw anything away. So people are used to it, but I think we could do even better.
Yeah. Yeah. The other shout out I'm going to give to your seasonal, you know, the dream of River Electric being more seasonal is, you know, when you look back deeper in the history of California, pre the Europeans coming, there was some seasonal travel. You know, there was like, and even the early days of the river community, it was like most people came just for the whole summer and then left. You know, it's like, I think seasonal living has been part of human history forever. Like, you go to certain places that are better in the summer, and then you go to other places that are better in the winter, and that's reasonable.
Totally. I mean, yeah, Guerneville and Monterey were, you know, vacation destinations. The train came up from the city, and, you know, back then the women and the children would come and spend the whole summer, and the men would come up on the weekends, and, you know, that was the culture. And I think that that's really cool. I mean, maybe not like depositing the women and the children for the summer, but, you know, families coming up and spending time there. You know, summer is so magical, especially in the Russian River Valley. It's just such a special time of year and so beautiful, and there's so much to do. So we're really excited to be a part of that.
Cool. Well, what'd you choose for your last songs, which I think I defined for you as like,
post-COVID.
You know, post-COVID, yeah. Like, were they, yeah.
Okay, so the first one is a Chapel Roan song, and the reason I chose that is I think that it represents like the kind of the merging of my love for music with my children's. And even though some of her stuff is like pretty inappropriate, my kids are like obsessed with her.
Yeah.
And I got to see her at Outside Lands last year with all my girlfriends. And that was just like a really like lovely marker in time of being out and like in live, watching live music on a sunny day and having an, you know, new artist who's up and coming. I feel like post COVID has just been such a strange time, and getting back to normal of going out and going and seeing live shows and hanging out with your people. That's really why I chose the song. The song specifically isn't like that meaningful to me, but it more so, I think, just marks the time period, which I think is important.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, Joplin is such a unique artist that does feel like definitely meets the moment, and what a cool wave. And that's, I love what you just said, that like, you know, we all need to get back to just being together, celebrating and having a good time. And so let's hear Hot to Go, Chapel Roan. Hot to Go from Chapel Roan. We're here. This is Remembering Ourselves. I'm your host, Colin Mutchler. I'm here with Kelsey Schafsky, and we are at the post-pandemic, current-ish moment on the journey of Kelsey's relationship to music. And yeah, what was the other song that you chose to represent this era?
Okay, so then I chose Nobody Smokes Anymore. By Robert Ellis. And this technically came out right before the pandemic, but we bought the record post-pandemic, like in 2020. And Robert Ellis is at a music festival that we do every year in Marfa, Texas, and he plays most every year. And he's great. But this song specifically, I think, is such a great song because it's kind of wraps up like my ethos about what's going on in the world right now. Like, nobody smokes anymore. Yeah, smoking's bad, but like, who cares, guys? Like, let's have some fun. Life is too short. Like, this whole everything's wellness and don't drink wine and don't do anything. And everyone is so boring. Not everyone, but I just, let's have some fun. Let's smoke a cigarette. I don't smoke. It's not even about smoking because I don't smoke, but
the spirit of it.
The spirit of it, of, just having fun for the sake of fun and stop worrying about everything. I feel like COVID really made everyone worry about everything. And it's just the news cycle is worry, 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 and clickbait about negativity. And let's smoke. Let's buy cigarettes. Let's do some fun things.
All right. I think listen deeply to these words. I hadn't heard it before, but yeah, worth listening. And then we'll close it out. But this is Robert Ellis. Nobody Smokes Anymore.
Anymore, what do I do, man? I'm trying to find a light. Nobody smokes anymore. Everyone else seems to have it all together. They say, buddy, you have to step out. One more drag and I'm out. Such a drag, such a good thing had to end. No one has fun anymore. Everyone acts like they wanna live forever, and nobody smokes anymore. The last years of your life are so shitty anyway, and everybody's so stressed out. Well, one more drag and I'm out. It's such a drag, such a good thing had to end. I'll be the only one that looks good in pictures. Nobody smokes anymore. Well, I guess I'll be the only one that has any fun, 'cause nobody smokes anymore. No, 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 nobody smokes anymore. Nobody smokes anymore. Nobody smokes anymore.
Nobody smokes anymore. Oh my God. I mean, the last few years of your life aren't good anyway. There's something about that. I think, yeah, the thing that I'll say, kind of building on what you shared, Kelsey, I do think it's like ripe for a reaction to it. It's like everything's so heavy. I think particularly for our generation, that's kind of this in-between generation where we're both like trying our best to live a good life ourselves, but we're also like responsible for the children. And I do think you're right that COVID kind of amplified it. But I think already our generation was very like much like optimizers. Like we're trying to be the best at everything. Mm-hmm. Like we're trying to like do everything better than the next one. And we're trying to get our kids into the best possible school. And we're trying to be the healthiest we could possibly be. And if we learn, we have to keep our kid in the car seat for 2 months later, because that's what they said. Okay, got it. You know, meanwhile, we had no car seats when I was a child. Like, there's just so, we're over safety oriented on every possible vector. And we have access to all the information we could ever dream of, so that we're so informed. And how does that feel? It's stressing us out.
Yeah, 100%.
So, you know, maybe we should just like take a deep breath, go outside, and have a cigarette. I don't know.
Can't wait for the comments on this.
I mean, I tried it a few times, straight up cigarettes, and it was like, I didn't like it enough to keep going. But I remember a close friend talked to me about it, who doesn't smoke anymore, but like used to back in college. And she described it as like, there's something nice about just going outside and taking a break from the thing you're doing and standing there and taking deep breaths and exhaling. And if you're with somebody else, you just, you know, talk to them. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's almost like there's nothing to do and you're taking a break from life and you're just there. And that's actually a nice thing to do sometimes.
Well, and it's social. I had a bunch of friends over the other night and none of them smoke all the time, but they're social smokers party-wise. And like, you know, half the house was having cigarettes and it was like, who cares? It's one night. You know, it's not that big a deal.
Well, we're waiting for the Bay Area haters to come after us.
Future Surgeon General.
Future Surgeon General. Well, that's like, great. What's the new... The Surgeon General came out with, like, the parents are not okay. Everyone's stressed out. We're all lonely and depressed from being on our phones.
Yeah.
So the solution, while we probably... You know, it's probably healthy for us not to drink, you know, so much more alcohol. But we also are, like, missing... joy and connection, you know, and that's the thing that's probably the deeper missing in our culture right now. Not, you know, not are we having a particular cigarette or drink.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Get out there, be social, find some friends.
Find some friends. Come out to the river.
Yeah. Come to River Electric.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go to River Electric this summer. Let's see each other on one of the many beaches. See each other out at Goat Rock or, you know, somewhere else in the beautiful place that we live. I feel so fortunate that, you know, we live in an area where you can just drive somewhere beautiful and be there and watch the sunset. And it's like peak experience that you'd probably have to pay thousands of dollars, you know, in many other places around the country. And it's easily accessible to us.
It's the most beautiful place in America. I really feel that way about West County.
Totally. Well, thanks again, Kelsey, for being on Remembering Ourselves. It's really great to have you. And thanks for sharing about your journey and your relationship to music and to connection. I'm really glad. I love this ending on this particular thing that we ended on. And as we close out, I'm going to play a song that was like a bonus song that Kelsey talked about at some point, which was during the era of Blind Melon and, you know, Pearl Jam and all those other waves. There was a band that she shared with her brother. So if you're listening right now, shout out to your brother. And this was from Weezer.
Yep.
So this was what, like 90s too at some point?
Yeah, this is like more mid 90s. My brother got the first Weezer album for Christmas one year and we listened to it nonstop. So it's an important one.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. We'll see you in a few weeks. This is Undone, the sweater song from Weezer.